Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Ready Spaghetti.
Hello.
That rolls off the tongue. I might be able to work with that. So welcome to episode 666 of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. There are people who've listened to this show and think that somebody named something say named the Child Care Bar and Grill is already possessed by the devil and evil, and so they quit listening after episode four, back when we used to drink a lot during episodes. So the truth is, we're not possessed by any hellfire or demons. We're just doing a podcast here, people. For this episode, we're going to play another episode of the top five game, where we pick a category, count down our top five responses to whatever the top five thing is. The top five thing in this case is top five ways to spark creativity. Number five is our least, our number five best, but still the least of the best. Number one is the best of the best. We're going to start with Lisa Murphy. Lisa Murphy, what's your number five way to start spark creativity?
It, for clarification, my list is for my own self.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Taking
a
long walk.
Is too. It doesn't have to be, but that's what my long walk.
Long walk, preferably in nature, on a trail, not on a road, but yeah, taking a long walk.
What is long in Lisa Murphy world?
Anywhere from 3 to 7 miles.
3 to 7 miles. That's a decent sized walk there. Mm-hmm. My experience is that you can differentiate a walk from a hike when the people who are with you start complaining that they're hungry and tired. So, or if you get the
I would differentiate it from the location.
Like
I would never say you want to go for a hike and then just walk through the neighborhood. Like, to me, that means you're going to be like in a park or nature or in a mountain.
Nature for it to be a hike.
Well, I mean, you're in nature when you're outside through the neighborhood, duh. But I'm saying, but hike to me means like we're probably getting in the car and going to a trailhead of sorts, to a destination.
A mountain, but I'm out here in the White Mountains. I wouldn't hike on like a nature trail, but that's
You need a change in elevation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I talked to Angela Hanscom about this, and she thought a change in elevation made it a hike too.
He's also in New Hampshire.
So yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's a New Hampshire thing. I just think when somebody starts bitching that they're hungry and tired, then it's turned into a hike. But it's pretty flat out here in Iowa. So I guess that's my only opportunity to do any hiking since we don't have any mountains. So
you don't have any elevation.
I think that's a good one. I'm not going to say that it's on my list at a later time. We're going to tease the audience and wait to find out. Will that reappear on Jeff's list? I don't know. Maybe. Brett, what's your number five?
So I wrote mine down thinking more classroom oriented, but then upon reflection, I feel like they would work for myself as well, except for this one, which is loose parts. Well, maybe loose parts. If you put like craft supplies in front of me and just like let them go, I come up with something.
Sure, absolutely. And that's one of the great benefits of loose parts, right? Is that they do spark creativity. So that's totally one of my lists. In fact, I've got on the bookcase behind me, it looks like there's a lot of books, but there's also a lot of little old blue mason jars that are full of little bits and pieces that I just use as fiddly things when I'm trying to think of things. So that's a great one. My number five, cocktails. I get creative after a
right drunk edit sober. Number one.
I don't know. One cocktail doesn't seem to be enough. But
four might be too many.
Four might be too many. But if there's a point where I'm one and a half to three cocktails in, I feel like I get creative. I'm not sure any of it is good, but that's one thing about creativity. You throw it out there, and then you have to do some pruning and editing at some point. So my number five, cocktails. Lisa Murphy, you ever get creative after a cocktail or two?
Hell yeah. I think I started multiple companies after a cocktail or two.
Well, we certainly,
that's when I get all my good ideas.
We certainly started a podcast that's lasted for 666 episodes after a couple of cocktails. Brett, you're probably too young to drink, so I'm not gonna
ask. No, I feel like it's when I make all my plans. It's when, like, I'm with my friends, we're like, we need to get together every month and we're gonna do this specific thing every time. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, were we really going to get together next weekend? And no, we're not really going to get together.
It sounded really good, though, last night when we were cheersing the third margarita.
It was a great idea when we were cheersing.
The other weekend, though, I apparently made plans to, like, come over to my friends on a Wednesday night and watch all the Ice Age movies. And then Wednesday morning, she's like, are you still coming? Coming for what? And
yeah. Well, that sounds like a fun night. So, Brett, what's your number four?
Observation, I said. So see what's happening around you to spark creativity, spark new ideas.
So just like people watching, or just nature watching, or things watching?
Yeah,
just,
you could
just
watch anything. Because, again, I was thinking in the classroom, yeah, just for creativity, for, like, I'm thinking I would, like, watch how they're playing in an area, see, like, oh, like, they're pretending these, I don't know, balls are baby bottles, so might as well, I know I have baby bottles, I'll plop them in there for the next day and see how they use them. So creativity, and see, like, then maybe something else can happen with everything. Or like nature is like, oh, I'm watching a squirrel, I wonder what it's doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like Newton napping under that tree and having that apple hit him in the head, and he's like, oh, hey, gravity might be a thing. I'm not sure that's how it happened, but so observation is a great one, I think.
People watching at airport, I miss the shit out of that. I've heard so many stories about people and the scenarios.
Lisa, maybe they're in the depths of YouTube. Maybe there's a YouTube channel that is just like footage of airports. You're going to have to search for that. You totally go down that rabbit hole of watching.
Yeah, like that's what I got time for today.
No, I like the watching, the observation. That's a good one. Lisa, what's your number four?
Hide your clocks. Now, this is an old school technique, but, you know, because, I mean, I don't wear a watch anymore. You know, if I want to know what time it is, I grab the phone out of my back pocket. But we used to do that back in the day. We take our watches off. We take the clocks off the wall, whether it was in the classroom or just at home. It really just kind of helped you kind of recalibrate to a more organic, authentic schedule. And I think because of that, it led to more creative ideas, brainstorming.
Yeah, that's a good way. You just kind of, you take yourself out of time, and it just kind of frees you up to think about things.
Well, you're not putting a glass ceiling on, like, if you're saying, you know, oh, I'm going to sit down and write today, or I'm going to sit down, or I'm going to paint or sketch or whatever, you know, you're not constantly looking up at the clock or at your wrist or what time is it? I got to be somewhere else. So, you know, like, we're just kind of going with the flow today and see what happens. But it would always take a day or two to calibrate to that.
Uh-huh. Now, on the flip side of that, time related is, and I've never been, a fan. This it didn't make my list, but one thing some places suggest is you set a timer and then you generate as many ideas as you can in 3 minutes or 5 minutes and that kind of thing. And so that other version of playing with time compared to kind of going time free is another thing.
I find that something I do authentically after that third cocktail. Let's just start making a fucking list. Make a list.
You know what? That's why I have so many, I've had so many bar napkins full of podcast episode
right? I have,
ideas.
I have 3x5 cards.
Hey, I'm with
yeah,
you.
Right?
So yeah, that the time thing is a great one. My number four is meditation. I get distracted by monkey mind, you know, thinking about tomorrow and fretting about what happened the other day. And I think this is kind of like getting away from the clocks. It's trying to be present in the moment. And so just sitting down for a couple minutes and clearing my head will allow other stuff to flow in. And that's something I found over the last 20 years that works for me along those lines. That brings us to number five, four, three. Brett, what's your number three?
It's basically the same, not about clocks, but you need time to be creative. As I feel like if it's, yeah, like you have 5 minutes to come up with 10 ideas, that's a lot harder than like, get me an idea when you're ready or whatever it might be. And same with play, when you only have 30 minutes to play, it's going to be hard to get into your most creative self versus having 90 minutes.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes time to settle in, and you've got to let the topic fester for a while, and then the creative ideas start flowing out. Good one, Lisa Murphy. You're number three.
Back in the day, I'm an art sucker for an art museum. Art museums get my creativity just skyrocketing.
Tell me more.
Looking at the art, looking at art, just it makes like not to mislead any listeners, I'm not an artist. I don't claim to be an artist. I don't have grand visions of desiring to be an artist. I do think I would have appreciated some intense art history learning about. Like I that's one of my like secret daydream fantasies is to go back to school and be an art history major. I seem to have a really weird knack, and this really is a weird knack. I have a weird knack of knowing who the artists are before I even get, like, I know who did it. And there's no reason in the world that I should just know this. And so I like, it like challenges me. You're like, oh, that's a, you know, and I'm like throwing up the names and oh, that's from this period. And I'm always right. And I'm like, how do I know that? And so there's something about being in an art museum surrounded by art, maybe in the proximity of other people's creativity and madness, totally gets my neurons firing.
So does it have to be the museum? I mean, it, like looking through a book of prints or scrolling,
no,
it's gotta be that environment.
It is a, like, I don't know. It's really weird. Like if the only traveling I could do for the rest of my life, if it was only traveling all over the world, going to art museums, I'd be like, all right, like I love that. And I think I know where it came from. And I can bring this back to teaching really quickly. My 10th grade social studies teacher, that was like Renaissance and European history. And I think she was really passionate about the art that was happening during the Renaissance. And I think that trickled, like I got that. So for all I know, I've just memorized what she taught us. And I'm now like impressed with myself. Like I have this, like some alien came to Earth and downloaded like all this art knowledge into my brain.
Yeah.
I don't, it's eerie. It freaks me out sometimes. I'm like, why do I know? Why do I know that? Why do I know that that's a Rubin? Why do I know that that's a Picasso? I mean, granted, some artists have very unique styles, and once you see two or three, you're like, "Oh yeah, that's a Miro," and then you're like, "Shit, how do I know that's a Miro?" You know,
maybe it's those little plaques right next to them that you're seeing. Maybe.
No, I'm too blind. I can't read those. I'm standing back looking at them. But yeah, being in art museums.
Yeah, I kind of dig that. I like me a good art museum, but I would, it's not on the list, but I would say museum period. I mean, one of my favorite places in the world is like the Field Museum in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's just, it's just different. All that stuff just kind of sparks things.
And to that, a children's, well-curated children's museums. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could spend the rest of my life touring children's museums, but I think I secretly want to have one. But but that's a whole other
thing. Yeah, so I kind of get that one. Britt, do you have any thoughts on this before I go off on a rant about art history classes?
I was thinking Lisa was an artist in a past life.
I thought of that.
Aesthetic at some point, and it's all just stuck in.
because she's crazy or because of the hair?
No, because she just knows it.
I'm okay.
Her past life is like, that's a Monet.
Yeah, like I'm not exactly. That's what happens. It's like I'm out there claiming to be like the daughter, the Anastasia, right?
Yeah.
I am really, you know, whoever, I don't know. Yes. I'm the reincarnated Van Gogh.
Yeah, exactly.
So back in the day I had to take an art history class. It was like a mandatory thing, and I was like looking forward to it for about 15 minutes until I spent time with the instructor, who was a pretentious asshole artist, and he did the kind of, I know maybe you like the stuff and you tell me why I don't understand it and don't get it, and I'm a heathen, which is cool, but he did these paintings that would be like a white canvas with like a circle on it that was just a tiny bit whiter.
His style of art.
That's the kind of stuff he created. And I mean, he was just full of pretentious douchebaggery that I could not tolerate, mostly probably because I was full of the same shit, just a different flavor. What was I missing? Because of him, I just hated that whole class. I suffered through it.
Well, that's not my, that's not the, I don't, it's not that I don't appreciate that style. It's just that doesn't get me the way like the older stuff does. I've been the person guilty of walking through an art museum and being like, oh, fuck, I could do that. And then the person next to me is like, but you didn't, you know, I'm like, well,
and it's like, because you have some taste and you value your time, because who would create that bullshit? Brett,
it's all different.
I know, but have you read the children's book, The Dot?
Yeah.
Where it's, the little girl, she just makes a dot, and it's like, and that's art. And then it kind of like, because she was saying, I'm not an artist. And then it like
totally exploded.
The whole thing where she like makes all these circles in different ways, but it just started with a dot. And then at the end of the story, like another child is like, oh, how did you do that? And she's like, well, just sign your name on a piece of paper for me, and now you're an artist.
That's what this guy was. That was his method of art. He just signed his name. Yeah, what a douchebag. I think he's dead now.
What's your number three?
My number three. We're on three, right? My number three is a conversation. Maybe that's why I had cocktail on the list. But I can actually have conversations that don't involve cocktails that will spark creativity. And sometimes it's conversation with folks like y'all, and sometimes it's conversations with a 4-year old, and sometimes it's conversations with one of the dogs. But it just gives you a chance to play with ideas and words, and kind of like your art museum, it kind of just sparks things for me. It's my number three, conversations. Brett, your number two.
Space, having the right, or not the right space, but the right space in that moment, I guess, the time and space coming together to spark creativity, because it doesn't need, initially I was thinking a lot of space to build what you want, but then I was like, oh, but we have so much fun in boxes. You know, where we have so much fun, like looking at that corner in your house and thinking, how can I make this corner more organized or look prettier or whatever? So having a space for the creativity, I guess.
So is there anything those spaces that work for you have to have? Lisa's have to have art. Because the art museum is a space, right? That sparks the creativity. Do you have any?
Which is why I think I had to put it all here too.
Yeah.
You know,
so do you have any space requirements?
I'm trying to think. I don't, because I was thinking like stuff for it, but I don't know that I need that. I don't know. I need purpose, I guess. I can't just have like blank. I need to know why it needs to be changed, or like why it needs creativity put into it. It can't just be like because I want to or because somebody asked me to kind of stuff. It needs purpose.
Yeah. And I think when we're setting up spaces for children, paying attention to what we add to the space and don't add to the space can really impact the way they use it and how creative they are with it. I mean, we've talked many times about how sometimes program space is too cluttered and there's too much stuff on the wall and the colors are too bright. That kind of tamps down on the creativity a little bit, I think. Lisa, what's your number two?
Talking with like-minded wizards. So I guess the same as your conversation.
Yeah, conversations.
Usually encompasses cocktails, usually encompasses talking about a thing related to early childhood, you know, an article that I might've read first and then I want to go talk about it with somebody else. But I think kind of plugging into just some industry things, right? It's not all outside of the industry that brings the industry creativity for me. Sometimes I can actually get it from within.
Yeah, yeah. My number two is a nap. A nap.
I'm not old enough yet for that to be on my top five, Jeff. Next year.
I mean, maybe this happens after the cocktails and the conversation. maybe they kind of spark things, and then I take a good nap, and whatever I remember is the useful stuff. But no, I mean sometimes, and I guess it's kind of, I mean, a nap is maybe a deeper version of meditation for me. I don't know. I think they all kind of relate. But no, a good, and it's got to be the right nap, because you know. 22 minutes seems to be about my perfect nap length. Before that, you're just kind of laying there. Beyond that, you're sleeping. But like 22 minutes in the middle of the afternoon kind of revs me up and sparks me up with things that'll keep me going through the rest of the day and wakes me up with more ideas. So nap works for me. Number one, Brett, what's your number one idea for sparking creativity?
A yes attitude.
Ooh.
Just say yes and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to track new ground and break old barriers when you're just going, no.
Well, yeah, right? Because if you think you already got it figured out, that's, you know, you've already decided no.
Yeah. Or even like trying something new, like thinking like, I like hand lettering, you know, like calligraphy, but it's like when it's not perfect, I can't be like, oh no, like now I'm all done with this. And you'd be like, yes, I'm learning. Yes, I'm trying again. Yes, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that yes mindset.
That's a good attitude, actually. Uh-huh. I mean, all creativity aside, I think a yes mindset is a healthy thing to get at.
Absolutely. Lisa Murphy, what's your number one?
Doodling, like if I am at a restaurant that has the paper table, the paper over the cloth, much to the dismay of everybody I am with, my bag opens and my Ziploc bag full of Sharpies and markers and highlighters comes out and it's just free flow, freestyle doodling.
I'm right there with you. I have recently been experimenting here at Upstairs Studio with a different mouse pad configuration. Now I got the little laser guided mouse and for a while my desktop was okay. It would track okay, but then all the mouse moving around kind of smoothed out the surface and it got too smooth so the mouse wouldn't track. And so I cut it's about a 14 by 14 inch piece of thin cardboard that I'm using under this mouse pad. So the mouse tracks great. But it's also right there with my writing hand. And so I can doodle and jot notes and that kind of stuff when I'm on the computer reading or doing things. So it's kind of a built-in place for that right here at Mission Control. But no, I totally get that. I mean, you'll sit in, I don't know if you will, but I'll sit in meetings and that kind of stuff while somebody is talking and be jotting doodles and doodles will turn into notes.
You should see the desk calendar that's here by, you know, like where I write and where I work. I mean, it's filled with stuff like that. I'm going to, sorry.
Chew.
I muted myself. But a close second, and I feel like I need to say this, but only because you guys said it, and I'd be like, I had that on my list too, of is futzing with stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the blocks and with the loose parts and with mm-hmm. the piece of copper wire, you know, that, you know, keeping my hands busy allows the brain.
Doodling for me is just to like have something to do with my hands, and even like taking like, if they don't like notes that don't matter, but taking notes on something, if I write it down versus type it, my brain holds it completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I remember what I write down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My number one, walks. My number one is Lisa Murphy's number five, walks. For me, it's the thing, you get out. I mean, I'm not talking treadmill walk. That doesn't do anything for me. But walk outside, and sometimes it's with the hounds, and sometimes it's alone, and sometimes there's hills, and sometimes there aren't, and sometimes it's morning, and sometimes it's night, but it always kind of clears my head and allows me to get into better creative problem solving. So that works for me. I think we had some good lists, a lot of similarities, but a lot of different things. I mean, loose parts should have been on my list, but it wasn't, but that was a great one. I think it's a good thing. Listeners, I'm interested in knowing what things spark creativity for you. Before we wrap this one up though, hey, Brett, I got to say, you give me hope for the future. One of the reasons I love having guests on the show, that are still working with children on a daily basis, like Lisa and I haven't been doing for a while, is it brings your insight, but your energy and youth kind of bring me hope for the future, and thank you for doing that and being part of this field and being thoughtful about the way you do this job, because I mean, our brains are wired towards negativity, and so I see so much online of all the struggles. I was talking to a director the other day who's just done with millennials because she had to fire another one, and so sometimes my head starts gravitating towards that negativity, and you brighten that up and turn it all around. So thank you very much for going out there and doing what you're doing. Any final thoughts on the episode or anything else before you wrap this one up?
Thank you.
Not like I'm having an emotion or anything, but it's a real thing. So thanks for being out there. Hey, listeners, if you're young or old, creative or not, we'd love to hear from you, and we really appreciate you listening and sharing the show, preferably with somebody who might like it, but also share it with an enemy, because downloads are downloads. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
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 This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.